Chapter 90, Hirsch Shares His Secret. The actions of your friend and Talmud, Kerpel, created great excitement in heaven, Reb Kehus informed Hirsch. Hirsch gazed at his respected guest questioningly. He could not understand what Reb Kehus was referring to. You should know, Reb Kehus continued, that Kerpel and his wife, Bracha, performed an amazing act of kindness with true Maseres Nefesh. Their deed caused a mighty impression in Shemayim. Their deed was so powerful that it frightened the Satan, who felt the need to put them to the test. The Satan was forced to agree that Kerpel had proven himself to be extremely kind-hearted. Nevertheless, he argued, all that Kerpel had done was to give away his money. To prove that Kerpel is truly a special person, the Satan insisted, he would first have to pass a more personal and difficult test. Hirsch was very surprised to hear this message. He knew that Kerpel was a generous and sincere person, but what great act of kindness had he performed with self-sacrifice? What could his friend have possibly done that caused such an uproar in heaven? Reb Kehus shared the entire story of Kerpel's rescue of Gershon and his son David. Hirsch was amazed. He had grown extremely close to Kerpel, yet somehow Kerpel had succeeded in hiding this entire story from him. Not only is Kerpel an incredibly kind man, but he is also wonderfully humble, cried Hirsch, struggling to control his excitement. Nodding his head in agreement, Reb Kehus continued to deliver the Baal Shem Tov's message. As I mentioned, the Satan tried to destroy Kerpel's accomplishment by sending him harsh suffering. That is why Kerpel has fallen ill with a severe disease over the past few weeks. According to the laws of medicine, he is unable to survive. Nevertheless, Reb Kehus continued excitedly, Kerpel has continued to show the same faith in Hashem, the same humility and good heart, despite his intense suffering. The Satan has failed. He has nothing left to say against Kerpel. Kerpel has sunken into debts that he cannot possibly pay, all because he rescued his fellow Jew. Despite his severe debts and despite the suffering of a deadly illness, he did not lose his trust in Hashem for even a moment. And all this time, he has not once questioned the ways of Hashem. Kerpel has shown himself to be a true tzaddik. Reb Kehus paused for a moment and then announced, Rabbi Yisrael of Akkub informed me that it has been decided in heaven to grant Kerpel and his wife a blessing they have desperately wanted for many years. Kerpel will regain his health, and they will give birth to a son. In addition, Rabbi Yisrael has sent 150 rubles. You are to give them to Kerpel so that he can return to his business and pay off his debts. I expect that Kerpel will refuse to accept the gift of money, Reb Kehus told Hirsch. Since you know him well, please think of a way to convince Kerpel to accept the money and use it to help himself. Hirsch understood what it would take to get his friend to accept such a large sum, and he shared his plan with Reb Kehus. The two of them made their way to Kerpel's home. Hirsch introduced his guest to Kerpel, explaining that Reb Kehus was about to set off on a distant journey and was looking to leave his money with a trustworthy person while he was gone. That's right, Reb Kehus confirmed to Kerpel. I have heard that you are an honest and trustworthy man. I will be extremely grateful if you would agree to guard my money while I'm away. It will be a long time until I return for it. Meanwhile, you may use it for your own business as long as you return the same amount when I return from my trip. Kerpel hesitated to accept the money. This is an unusually large sum, he explained. I'm not sure I want the responsibility of guarding such an amount of money. In this way, I will be doing a mitzvah with my money while I'm gone. Please do not prevent me from performing this big mitzvah, Reb Kehus urged. Hirsch also encouraged Kerpel to do Reb Kehus this favor. Eventually, Kerpel agreed to the terms of Reb Kehus's offer. A few days later, Hirsch again visited Kerpel, who was wavering in his decision to treat the money as a much-needed loan. If he did that, it would allow him to repay part of the huge debts he had amassed, and he could use some of the money to try and rebuild his business. But what if he failed? He remembered well how quickly his fortunes had turned so suddenly from wealth to poverty and from health to illness. Don't worry, my friend, he told Kerpel. Use the money and Hashem will bless you with success. Once your business is up and running once again, you will easily afford to return Reb Kehas every last ruble. Kerpel thought it over and finally agreed. He first paid off the most urgent debts. Then he used the remaining money to buy goods to sell in nearby villages. He was even more successful than he had hoped he would be. He sold all his goods quickly at good prices. Within a few weeks, he was able to pay off more of his debts and also buy more goods to sell. He continued buying and selling until his wealth began to return. The truly good news during this time came from his wife. When he returned home one evening from a successful day of selling, his wife Bracha informed him that she was expecting a child. Kerpel was stunned by the wonderful news. He was so delighted that he did not know what to do. For years on end, they had begged Hashem to send them a child. They had tried everything possible, but it seemed that their dream would never come true. Now that they were older, Hashem had unexpectedly answered their pleas. What a blessing! Months later, Kerpel and Bracha held their precious newborn son in their arms. At the child's bris milah, he was given the name Yosef Yitzchak. Yosef Yitzchak grew into a charming child with beautiful eyes. He was gifted, well-educated, and had a pleasant character. While he was still young, he was already known for his outstanding Torah knowledge, and over time, he became known as the Eloi, the young genius of Sharia. Many years later, Yosef Yitzchak married Devorah Leah, the sister of Baruch of Vitebsk. Hirsch remained in Sharia for another few years, continuing his important mission. All this time, Kerpel continued to ask Hirsch about Reb Kehas. Kerpel was by now a wealthy man, and he wished to return the money that Reb Kehas had deposited with him. Don't worry, Hirsch would respond. As soon as he needs the money, I'll let you know. One day, Hirsch entered Kerpel's home with a surprising message. That's it, Hirsch announced. It's time for me to leave Sharia and move on to my next mission. Kerpel stared at his friend in astonishment. Why must you leave Sharia? He asked. What next mission are you talking about? Then, for the first time, Hirsch shared his secret with Kerpel. He was one of the Nestarim. He had been sent to Sharia on a mission, and now that he had completed his duties, he had received instructions for a new mission. It was time to move on. Reb Kehas was also a Nister, Hirsch explained to Kerpel. The money that he had given Kerpel had in fact been sent by Rav Yisrael, the Baal Shem Tov. Kerpel was amazed by this information, and he was very touched. Removing a large bag of money, he counted out 450 rubles. Take this, he said, handing the money to Hirsch. 150 to pay back the loan that Reb Kehas gave me on behalf of the Baal Shem Tov. And the remaining 300 rubles are my anonymous donation to the Nestarim Fund.